Welcome to Art Talk Live. I'm your host, Julia Noyes, from the Noyes Art Gallery. I'm interviewing artists for your listening pleasure. Haven't you ever wondered why artists do what they do or what inspires them? So here we are, live, to give you the inside scoop.
Welcome back to Art Talk Live. This is Lynette Fast, and I am here at Noyes Art Gallery, second Friday of every month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that's when we record the Art Talk Live programs. Stop by 119 South 9th Street, and if you want to, come during Art Talk Live, and you can be an audience present while we're recording. We could serve a little coffee or tea, maybe you want to bring a sack lunch, and just enjoy hearing about artists, what artists do, why do they do what they do, and then listen in local on kzum.org/Art Talk Live. We've got about 10 years of podcasts backed up there, and you can learn lots about artists and their life and the work of Noyes artists. You can also hear an episode once in a while on 89.3 FM. With me today in the studio is Samuel Nielsen. And Samuel's a rather new artist here at Noyes. And as you have known from other podcasts, if you've been listening, we have quite an eclectic group of artists here at Noyes. We have about 125 artists represented all the time. And we have artists from all spectrum of media, styles, genre, all kinds of materials. Everything is different and unique. And we also have artists with all different experience amounts. And so I'm very excited for you to hear Samuel's journey as he has moved into selling here at Noyes Art Gallery and what it was like to move along in that journey. We have not had any interviews prior with Samuel, and so with us being his first one, hi Samuel.
Hi.
I am going to ask you to tell us the first time you remember thinking of yourself as an artist.
Oh gosh, I'm not sure what age I was. Pretty young. I was obsessed with Looney Tunes, and so I would always ask my mother to give me a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil so I could draw them. And ever since then, I almost said it's gone downhill, but I mean, I'm still drawing. It's evolved since then.
Evolved.
That's a good word.
I like that, indeed, because I have been doing this for like 60 years, and it has really evolved. I like that word. So as we are looking at your art, and if someone were to come into the gallery, what does your art look like now if you're talking about it evolving from Looney Tunes?
I have a, when it comes to my personal paintings, I paint acrylic, mainly with acrylic, but I tend to paint my feelings, but my subject matter tends to be, you'll see a lot of skeletons, a lot of, I'm blanking here, but I draw a lot of people who kind of reflect myself. So you do see a lot of women, a lot of butch women, it's usually set up in bars, or I love Dungeons and Dragons, so I will take the fantasy route every once in a while, but it's a lot of big choppy paint strokes. I like to limit my color palettes just so I can see what I can do with that. But I would say a lot of my more recent paintings have had more of a dour feeling.
Mm-hmm. And as we look at your work, what kind of size do you like to work with?
Normally I do stick with that 8x11, but I've been pushing myself to work bigger. I believe my last big piece sold, and I can't think of how big that was, but I want to say it was about, I know it was I want to say about three and a half feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Much bigger then. Much bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit about where you grew up and, you know, what you feel inspired you. You mentioned your mom providing you materials so that you could draw. Looney Tunes providing you subject ideas.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I grew up in Kerr, Nebraska. And, you know, ever since that whole Looney Tunes thing, for Christmas and birthdays, I've gotten nothing but sketchbooks, art supplies, charcoal, oil pastels, all that fun stuff. And since then, I have stepped into other forms of inspiration. I know, I want to say fourth or fifth grade, one of my aunts gave me a book about Pablo Picasso. I don't know if that was an appropriate book for someone my age, but I'm not complaining now. And that caused me to, you know, look into other more famous artists. I know I eventually, you know, went on to college. I went to Doane College to study art, and that's when I realized what's his name? Let's see. Hieronymus Bosch. I always pronounce his name wrong.
Bosch, yeah.
Yeah, I love Bosch. I had to write a 5-page paper on his triptych, and I spent hours studying that thing. And I mean, obviously I had to look into his other pieces, and I just fell in love with the visuals. It's kind of insane and weird and uncomfortable. And I decided, you know, I'm going to paint like that.
Mm.
Let's see.
Well, you've talked about your family support, supporting you with materials. It sounded like you had an endless stream of materials always coming in. That's so important. And then members in your family recognizing your interest in art and providing you with more support and guidance in books and exposing you to artists. How did going to college then change your view of art?
I guess when I got to college, I got to communicate more with other artists, not just my art professors, but other people in my class. You know, we were able to share our experiences, our inspirations, our works together. And with all my professors, you know, that's an extra form of support that had a bigger knowledge base on my interests. And in fact, in college, I got really into printmaking, and I was really into intaglio, which I'm currently saving up for a press so I can get back into that.
Wow.
I love printmaking. Mm-hmm. I love working with the acids and all that. I just need to get back into it.
So that was a whole new technique exposure that evolved your skills and your ideas too.
Oh yeah,
indeed. Well, intaglio is a very intense process, so I can relate to it. You must really like very precise, very meticulous thinking.
Oh yeah, and in fact, that made me realize my that kind of thinking kind of pushed me into my current career path, which is in manufacturing.
Oh, okay. So tell us about what you're doing and how do you get your art creating time in? That's something that a lot of artists have to balance is, you know, the work life and the creating life. And how do you make it all work together?
It was rough. It was really rough for a while because I was working too much and not spending enough time to myself. That changed recently with my newer position. It might change again once I go back to school here soon, but my stepmom introduced me to a method that she uses when she wants to sit down and code or write. But she told me, you know, pick a time of the day and spend at least 30 minutes on something. And then if you want to, you can either stop or you can keep going, but you got to spend at least 30 minutes on that project. And that's helped a lot.
And so is that on a daily basis? You try to think about on purpose putting that segment in your life?
I try and do every day. There are some days where I just take days off. I just hang around the house. But I would say 5 out of 7 days, I'm taking at least 30 minutes out of my time to paint.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I would call you probably an illustrator in terms of your subject matter and the way that you paint in a very illustrative way. Is there another way you might describe what your art looks like or your style?
Oh, no, illustrator is spot on. That's definitely what I would refer to myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since outside of painting, I mean, I'm not drawing Looney Tunes anymore, but I'm still drawing cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. So where could we meet you next? Are you in any shows coming up at the gallery, or what's happening in your art world life?
I'm doing a third Friday, and I don't remember if it's June or July. It's one of the J months.
Good.
I want to say July.
This summer, yeah.
I'll be there third Friday, and gosh, I have a few strips. I'm comic strips that I'm pretty excited to present.
So those will be drawn illustrations?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that sounds very exciting. One of the questions I always like to inquire about, too, is if you do commissions.
I do. I mostly do digital commissions, but I am open to traditional paintings as well. I have an email people can contact me with. My rates are kind of all over the place depending on what I'm drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to share my email or?
You know, I'm going to ask people just to contact the gallery and then
okay.
We can connect them with you. So just calling the gallery at 402-475-1061. We can get Samuel your name and your number, and then you can continue the contacts from there. And we're so excited to have Samuel in the gallery. They have brought a interesting and new slant to subject matter. As you can hear from Samuel's description of skeletons and reflections on himself with the cartooning going on into it, the limited color palette with choppy paint strokes, it's very unique and different. And in comparison, as we look around the gallery, you're going to see lots of different styles in that kind of a way. I really enjoyed the way that they described how to commit yourself when you have to work another job and you also need your creative spirit time. What a great suggestion you have had from your mom. Very cool. Sit down at least 30 minutes and put your mind to that creative time. That's a great way to get started in making sure that you're feeding your soul with the creative time.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Samuel, thank you so much for joining us today on Art Talk Live. We look forward to what you're going to debut this summer with your illustrations.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right. Welcome. Welcome back, everybody, and come back often. We have about 10 years of podcasts built up at kzum.org/Art Talk Live, and this is Lynette Fast. Please join us again.
This is Julia Noyes from the Noyes Art Gallery, and this has been Art Talk Live. I want to especially thank Lila Cho for her original violin composition that she did special for us. Tune in again. We'll be looking for you.